From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Listen, we have got a great show for you today. We have author Mary Roach. She'll be here to talk about her latest book. It's about space travel. But first, you know, a really wonderful thing happened this week. A typical American family in Virginia, the Nicholas Armstrongs, got a visit from a financial advisor, one by the name of Barack Obama. It's true. He was there. He visited their home to learn their concerns about the economy. But it turns out the president learned a lot from the humble citizens and their folksy ways. In fact, he went back to the White House with a plan to eliminate the deficit, a Rahm Emanuel swear jar. Share your good ideas with us. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Elaine in Salinas, California.
Hey, Salinas is nice, John Steinbeck country. How are things there?
It's a beautiful day. We're having a great day.
I'm glad to hear it. And what do you do there?
I'm the director of education for a vocational college.
Oh, a vocational college, a school where people learn trades.
Yes.
What are the most relevant trades to be learning right now if you're a young person? I would think one of them is to be unemployed would be something.
Well, we don't teach them that.
Okay.
We find that allied health is the most popular, lots of people being medical assistants and pharmacy techs and things like that.
Right. Exactly.
So to medicate all the people who don't have jobs.
Right.
Exactly.
Largely.
Elaine, let me introduce you to the panel this week. First up, say hello to the man behind the world-famous podcast, Too Beautiful to Live, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hi, Luke.
Hey, Elaine.
Next, a comedian, director, and author of the new book, Satiristas, Mr. Paul Provenza.
Hello, Elaine.
Hi, Paul.
And a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's performing at the Pachoke Theater on October 1st in Long Island. Ms. Paula Poundstone, right there.
Hey, Elaine.
Welcome to the show, Elaine. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
She is not a viable candidate for any office in this state. She could not be elected dog catcher.
That was a Republican Party chairman talking about Christine O'Donnell. She upset the GOP favorite in the primary for the Senate seat where?
Delaware?
Yes, indeed, in Delaware. The Tea Party wanted the GOP to go more to the right, and they oversteered. It's the political equivalent of a hungry senior citizen trying to park at the Denny's and just going straight through the window. So the new GOP nominee for the Senate in Delaware, Ms. O'Donnell, has spent the last decade or so running for office and going on various TV shows to express a variety of opinions, primarily her opposition to most kinds of sex, extramarital, premarital, homosexual, and the kind of sex you have with yourself. She's against that. She says now this is all irrelevant. She wants to be judged on her positions. Her position is standing straight up, fully dressed, her hands at her sides, wearing oven mitts. How is she going to fit in with like the old boy culture of the Senate? You know, we imagine her walking up to Senator David Vitter, for example, and saying, I want to talk to you about chastity. And Vitter says, oh, I love chastity, but she's too expensive. By the way, I want to say this about Christine O'Donnell. Not all of her professed opinions are about sex. She also does not believe in evolution.
Without sex, really, there can be no evolution.
Exactly. So. And she also, she said this a few years ago, she fears scientists have already cloned mice with, quote, fully functioning human brains.
They came in third in the polls.
There you are. Carl, what is Elaine's next quote?
Corn sugar? Yeah, because when we think of health food, we think sugar.
That was Gawker.com. It was commenting on a name change this week. A name change to what much maligned food ingredient?
corn syrup.
Yes, high fructose corn syrup. Very well done.
Thank you.
Very good, yes. For years now, high fructose corn syrup has been the snidely whiplash of food additives. Foods proudly advertise no high fructose corn syrup, even though they're loaded with other things that are just as bad for you, like cane sugar and strychnine and bits of broken glass. Well, Big Corn is tired of it, so from now on you'll be bringing on your early onset diabetes with a much more homey sounding corn sugar. It's a lot better. Whereas corn syrup made you morbidly obese, corn sugar makes you morbidly jolly.
I don't care what they call it. I'm going to find it and drink it.
Yeah. You like it straight?
Isn't that what, like, caro syrup? Isn't that what that is?
Oh, you sort of. Caro syrup is corn syrup, but this is a different kind that's used
for food.
Oh,
it's a different kind, because yeah. I do like corn syrup, yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, by the way, in other news on the naming front, MSG is now called Happy Flavor Sprinkles. The preservative BHT is now called Eternal Youth. And napalm is now called Action Tan. Elaine, here is your last quote.
We're going to Australia!
That was somebody launching her final season of her daily talk show with a big surprise for her audience. Who was it?
Oprah.
Yes, Oprah Winfrey. Yay. Oprah promised that her premiere would feature, quote, the biggest surprise in Oprah show history, and she did not disappoint her fans, mainly because her fans are physically incapable of being disappointed in her. If she robbed them at gunpoint, they'd say, isn't it wonderful she's helping my wallet lose weight? Anyway, Oprah announced she was taking the whole studio audience to Australia on a plane piloted by John Travolta. Actual pilot. You can tell a plane is piloted by Travolta because it's got a bumper sticker saying, L. Ron Hubbard is my co-pilot.
They're having the way that people are, they're doing a show taping in Australia, I believe in Sydney, and it's like 3,000 seats, and they've already started, I'm not kidding, this national lottery to be one of the 3,000 people who gets to see Oprah live in Australia.
Wow.
Which to me seems like, isn't the image of Australians tarnished enough?
Really? Okay. What is wrong with Oprah?
I think of Australians as being a little bit, you know, with the whole, like, penal colony past way behind them. I think of them as being kind of like...
There will be no more penal when Christine...
Hold on.
Certainly not colonies of it.
They just seem, I don't know, I assume people in other parts of the world are a little more evolved than us. They have sort of more refined taste in some way. Then I find out, oh, no, they're also lining up
to see Oprah.
To go see Oprah.
Anyway, Carl, how did Elaine do in our quiz?
Well, you can't do better, Peter. She had 3 correct answers, so Elaine, you win our prize.
You did well, Elaine. That was great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.